Just again, a big thank you to all of you for your words of comfort and your prayers during this time. I come to you with a heavy heart yet from all that happened in the past few weeks. And that's what inspired the message. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It is a blessing to be able to bring our heartaches, our pain, our tears to one who understands what we're going through. The title this morning is Take It to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I invite you to stand as we read in reverence to the Word, if you're comfortable in doing so. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thank you. You may be seated. Looking primarily at verses 8 and 9, we are troubled on every side. Long ago, a devout Christian in difficult circumstances described his situation in life with four descriptive terms. We are troubled. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are cast down. And in the years since, I believe I can say all Christians, including you and I here this morning, could pen those same words about our lives at some point. We are troubled, meaning that we are pressed, we are crowded, the pressure's on and it puts the squeeze on us. We are perplexed, we are puzzled, we stand in doubt. We are persecuted, or we are oppressed and harassed for doing what is right. We are cast down, meaning that we are struck down. It seems that our world, the world that we live in, our lives, are full of difficult circumstances. Things happen that are out of our control. We want rest, but we discover there's nothing but turmoil. We want comfort, but there's tears. We want joy, but there's sadness. We long for heaven, but we see the narrow way that is too narrow for self. We anticipate the heavenly crown only to feel the sharp, prickly splinters of the cross that we're asked to carry. And we buckle under its bitter weight at times. But then you know what? Jesus bowed beneath his heavy weight at the cross as well. Take it to Jesus. He understands what's wearing you down. Take it to Jesus. He's been there too. He's been through the valley of the shadow of death. He's been through the desert and hungry for bread. He's been through the storm, through the flood and the wind. He's been through the judgment, accused of our sin. Whatever it is that is troubling you, there is no pain that he hasn't been through. He knows how you're hurting and he knows what to do. Take it to Jesus. He's been there too. He lived as a poor man with no place to call home. His disciples betrayed him, left to die all alone. He felt true sorrow. He hurt and he cried. And the people he loved wanted him crucified. Whatever it is that is troubling you, there is no pain that he hasn't been through. He knows how you're hurting, and he knows what to do. Take it to Jesus. He's been there too. What a blessing that we can bring our cares, our sorrows, our pain, the pressure that we feel to Jesus, and he already knows all about it. He's experienced in that. And he knows how to care for us. He perfectly understands our pain. The Hebrew writer turns our faces towards him when he says, "For consider him, Jesus, that endured such contradiction, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Bring it to Jesus and let him help you through this difficult time in your life. And like him, like Jesus, we can be faithful through those times. We can endure the weight of the cross. We can experience his joy in difficult times and someday reach the throne of God and eternal rest. Troubled but not distressed. Troubled but not distressed. We are crowded in on every side, but the definition for distressed means that we're not hemmed in. We're not isolated and left there to deal with it ourselves. Troubled but not distressed. Difficulties, yes indeed. Christians will always live under pressure, but we don't have to face it alone. There is help available. Take it to Jesus. He will lead you to victory. Hard things. You know, why can life be so hard, so difficult? God created the world and everything in it in 6 days. He observed everything that he had made, and his conclusion was that it is very good. He was pleased with his creation. He said himself, "It is very good." What went wrong? Why is life so hard today when God created things to be very good? That life in the garden was perfect. There was no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no difficult circumstances, no pressures crowding in on Adam and Eve. It was very good. But man was created with a choice. Man was created with a choice, and they chose to take their own way. In disobedience, Eve took of the fruit of the tree she was forbidden to eat of, and things changed for mankind. Man made a wrong choice, and to this day, the Christian is in a warfare. Life became hard. The powers of evil are present. The powers of evil cannot stand even a hint of the goodness of God. And so life becomes a battlefield. The enemy does everything in his power to destroy the goodness of God, and you and I included. Man gave in to that evil power, deceptive force, and became bound to sin, which brought about a terrible curse on all that God had just called very good. Life became hard. Troubles came in on every side. To Eve he said, "Thy sorrows shall be greatly multiplied." To Adam he said, "Cursed be the ground, and in sorrow shalt thou eat bread of it." Life was no longer easy and good. Life became hard and full of struggles. But God did not give up on mankind. He did not give up on man. In his great love and mercy, he provided a way of redemption. Verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The light has shined. Jesus has shined in our hearts. The light of knowledge, or enlightenment, we could say. God gave His Son a sacrifice to save our soul that was bound to sin. Salvation brings the goodness of God's original plan back into the world. We can live in heavenly peace despite the evils that are putting pressure on our lives, crowding in on every side. With the power of Christ's blood, we are able to resist the forces of evil, and life can become good again, like God had planned it. Life can be good through Jesus Christ. Yet we ask, why is life so hard at times? Why so many hard things out of our control? Pressures and troubles crowding in on every side that threaten to overwhelm us. We become weary of life because of the struggle. It doesn't leave, but it only seems to intensify as we get older. I think we could all relate to that kind of feeling. But you know, when we come to the end of ourselves and finally drop on our knees and cry out to God, "God, I can't take this anymore." It is then that He lovingly and tenderly reaches down and picks us up. When we come to the end of ourselves, He is ready to help us. And if He would audibly speak, would He not say, "My child, this was given to you to bring you closer to me. I'm drawing you to myself. I won't leave you alone. I will help you through this time. I'm bringing you back to myself." But the devil unleashes all his power against that. He does not want us to draw closer to God. He destroys as much evidence of God in our day to day that he possibly can. He wants people to forget God and his goodness towards mankind. He will not sit quietly by and allow you to receive the gift of life through Jesus Christ, because he knows that it is out of his reach forever. He cannot receive that gift of life, and he does not want you and I to have it either. And the battle is on. Life is hard. Life is a battlefield. Yet God, our merciful, redeeming, all-powerful King, is in full control. He knows where we're at, and he's able to pick us up and carry us through those hard times. Satan is limited. God is almighty. God only allows the struggles that he knows we're able to handle, and those that bring us closer to himself. You know, if life were never hard, if we always had smooth sailing, we would not think of needing a God to save us or to help us. We would forget God. Thank God that he is in control of all things, even the hard things, and he uses them to draw his children closer to himself. You know, without him, we can do nothing. And because of difficulties, we learn to trust him. We learn to trust him to guide us through life. We learn to cast our cares on him, for by experience we know that he careth for us. David wrote in Psalm, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." David had a hard life as well. And he used those experiences to draw closer to God. Troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, Paul penned these words from experience. I'd like to look at one of his experiences and liken it to our voyage of life. Paul had a passion for years to preach the gospel in Rome. And under the providence of God, Paul was arrested. He was tried and convicted and found himself on a ship headed for Rome with Caesar paying for the ticket. In verse 1 of Acts 27, it was determined that we should sail. They had made up their minds to get started. In verse 2, it says, we launched. You know, they would not have arrived in Rome had they not started at some point. You know, today we have dreams, we have desires, we make resolutions. But what we need is faith in God to get started. We need to launch. We need to get on the ship and set sail. Good intentions never get us anywhere. It takes action. Very soon it says the winds were contrary. They then progressed, exceedingly tossed with a tempest. They didn't see the sun or the stars for many days. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Even the sailors had given up. There's no hope. We're going to drown at sea. You know, for us today, we start serving the Lord. We start doing something for Jesus Christ. And what happens? Satan will send a storm. He will try to stop it. He will try to stop that good work. He is opposed to it. The Christian life is not always smooth sailing. Storms arise and winds blow. What did Paul do? He was communicating with God about their predicament. How well do we do in that? Is our prayer life up to date? Are we able to come to God in a time like that and say, God, here I am. What do you have for me? Or is our relationship up to date? Maybe we're struggling in that area. We haven't connected with God, and we face a hard time, and it feels like we're alone. Keep your prayer life up to date. Have a vibrant prayer life before the storm hits. Paul had faith. Right in the middle of the raging storm, he said, I believe God. I believe God. I'm wondering if we could say that together. I believe God. Paul said that in the middle of a storm. You know, it's easy for us to say that together here this morning in this setting. But I want you to imagine that you joined Paul on that ship. You're in the boat. The wind is howling. The sails are flapping. The water is coming up over the sides. The boat seems to be sinking. Thunder is crashing. The sailors and everybody on board said, there's no hope. We're going to drown. Paul looks up and shouts above the roar, I believe God. We'd rather run away and hide, right? The angel had told Paul that he would stand before Caesar. And how was that going to happen if the boat would sink and they'd all drown? Paul chose to believe God that he was going to stand before Caesar somehow. Paul had a faith in God that was very strong. Despite all odds against him, on a ship that was being tossed by the waves like an eggshell, every direction, water splashing over the deck, there he was clinging to the rigging of the ship, drenched with water. You can imagine the ocean spray hitting his weathered face and it was stinging. He was soaking wet. And everyone around him had given up hope. And he said, I believe God. Paul chose to believe instead of fearing the storm. Maybe you are in a similar place. The enemy opposes you. Circumstances overwhelm you. You don't know where to turn. Others tell you there's no hope. There's no use to try. Just give up. But above the noise of the confusion around you, God speaks. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. They shall not overflow thee. And you can choose to believe God, believe those words, or you can faint and crumble beneath the weight and say there's no hope. God has a promise for every trial. There's a promise in His Word for every trial that you face, every storm of life. And faith, our faith chooses to believe God and His Word, no matter what we're facing in life. Paul's faith in God not only saved himself, but 275 others with him were saved. The angel had said, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So Paul believed that those words were true as well, that no one would perish on the ship. I believe Paul must have prayed for everyone involved. You know, Paul could have given in to self-pity. I'm a prisoner on this boat. He was probably in chains in the middle of a storm for no wrong that he had done. Life is unfair. Life is too hard for me. I'm going to hide in the lower deck of the ship. No one's going to find me, and I'll wallow in self-pity. Here he was, strengthened by the angel, and he was the one encouraging the others. He encouraged the sailors who were familiar with the sea that they were on. They were the ones that should have been encouraging the prisoners. No, it was Paul. He reached out. He was encouraging them. He told them, "You have to eat. We need our strength. No one will perish. There will be a way forward." And it says, then they were all of good cheer. Even in the midst of the storm, he had encouraged 275 other people to the point that they had good cheer. And remember, just before that, they had said there is no hope. They had given up. They were throwing things overboard. They had done all they could do. There was no hope. We're going to drown. And now Paul is encouraging them. And they were all of good cheer. My friends, don't dwell on your unpleasant circumstances. Reach out to others. You know, you might fuss about having no shoes to wear until you see somebody with no feet. There's others facing hard things too. And when you focus on helping others, lend a hand, visit the sick, whatever you are called to do, do it by the power of God. And guess what? You will find your unpleasant situation disappearing. God is in it with you. Paul said, "There stood by me this night the angel of God." We see divine faithfulness. The angel of God was with Paul on the ship that night, the night of the storm, the night of despair, the night of no hope. Isn't that just like God to provide for his people on a night like that? When we face the storm, you know, if you have not been in a storm on the sea of life, you have not experienced the sweetness of God's presence. He has promised to give his angels charge over thee. He has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He has promised that he will be with us in trouble. And when we suffer, we don't have to suffer alone. God will watch over us. He will send his angels to comfort us in time of need. Will we make it? It says they all escaped the shipwreck safe and sound. They all made it to shore. And so can we. Divine deliverance. Trust him. You know, storms come, the winds blow, the enemy attacks us. We may be troubled on every side. We feel the pressure coming in. We feel overwhelmed. But God has said, "I will stand by you. I will help you through this." God doesn't promise us an easy life. It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. In fact, in John 16, it says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." But they cannot overcome us. Trials and tribulations cannot overcome us. Sickness and death cannot defeat us. Satan and all hell cannot destroy us. Think of that. Satan cannot destroy us when we're living in the power of God. God's ultimate triumph is recorded in his word. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." We can make it to the other side, just like the 276 people aboard the sinking ship made it to shore. There's victory in Jesus. All of us here today can make it to the golden shore. There is a way. Take courage. Look up. Believe God. Believe God. Put your faith in God. Thank Him for the victory. Thank Him for leading you, and let Him lead you. Lastly, how long will life be so hard? How long are we in this struggle? Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. First of all, let's notice the word light affliction. If you allow me, I want to read a few verses in chapter 11. Paul calls it a light affliction. And that word light means not burdensome. Let me read to you some of Paul's experiences in life. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Light affliction, not burdensome. How could Paul say that? Not burdensome. What do you think Paul would say about our hard life? Yet, I know from experience, when we are right in the middle of the storm, that storm is very real to us. It's personal. It's hard. Even if it doesn't compare to what Paul went through. How long do we have to endure this? It says here, but for a moment. You know, sometimes we're troubled and the pressure is so real from every direction, and we feel like this will never end. We'll never get out of this. But you know what? In light of eternity, here it says, our light affliction is but for a moment. It will be worth it all. It's but for a moment. It will soon pass. There is nothing in this life, nothing in this life so hard that it's worth giving up and saying there's no hope. The glories of heaven, meeting our Savior and our loved ones, will be worth it all. No matter how hard it is, the thing we face right now, don't give up. God will help you through the storm. Troubled on every side, crowded by the pressures of life, yet not distressed. Yet not distressed. That means crushed or isolated or hemmed in. We're perplexed, you know, we're puzzled, we stand in doubt. But we don't have to despair. Be cheerful. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Be at peace. Cast down, but not destroyed. Not destroyed, but sustained by the power of God. With Jesus, we can struggle and win. Whatever it is that is troubling you, take it to Jesus. He's been there too. Let's kneel and pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again today, thanking you for your goodness to us. Thank you for being so great a God and for caring for us as mankind filled with needs and struggles. Yet we can sense your love and your guiding presence, your sustaining power. Your comfort meets our needs in time of distress. Thank you that we can call upon you, not only in the storm, but also when we're on the mountaintop. And I pray, God, that each one of us would learn to trust you with our life, in the good times and in the hard times, and let you lead us and guide us in the way of holiness. Thank you again for each one that is present. O God, may you minister by your Holy Spirit and your word to our hearts and draw us ever closer to yourself. We commit our times, our life into your hands, and we trust that as we live out our lives each day, we would be bringing glory and honor to your high and holy name, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.